the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, The Tempest. A huge storm, you know, a tempest, rages. A ship carrying the King of Naples, a guy by the name of Alonso, and his son Ferdinand, Antonio, the Duke of Milan, and various men. This ship is battered, and in my favorite stage direction ever, enter mariners wet. They all get shipwrecked, dispersed in various groupings about an enchanted island. This island is ruled by Prospero, who is the deposed Duke of Milan and brother of Antonio. And for the last 20 years or so, he's schooled his daughter Miranda in isolation on this island that he's been banished to by his brother and various other conspirators. And they're isolated save for the island spirits and this guy by the name of Caliban, who's a deformed, quote-unquote, monster child of the previous ruler of the island, who was a dark queen by the name of Sycorax. Sycorax? Something. That's a Jeopardy trivia thing more than anything else. She doesn't actually appear. She's just referenced. Prospero's right-hand spirit, Ariel, tells him that all is going according to plan, and what a plan it is. It's reminiscent of the magic of Midsummer Night's Dream, except this time it isn't the fairy world that's ruling humanity and their emotions, but the single man. Prospero introduces his daughter Miranda to Ferdinand, who you remember is the king's son. Obviously, he's been shipwrecked. The two kids fall immediately in love, as kids are wont to do. But Prospero doesn't want his daughter won too quickly, because he doesn't want the prize to seem any less worthy than she actually is. So he's a jerk to Ferdinand. He makes him lug logs around the island and does various manual labor tasks. And Ferdinand endures all of this as he loves Miranda, and he's willing to put up with this because that's what, you know, a moment with her is worth it all the trouble and everything, etc. Meanwhile, various plots for power are being developed on the island. Caliban has fallen into disfavor with Prospero because the monster child tried to seduce Miranda, and as a result, he hates Prospero, who treats him terribly and everything. And so anyway, Caliban is willing to trade the secrets of the island for a new master, and he settles on Stefano, who actually gives him beer and wine and gets him drunk. And so Caliban thinks that he's much more powerful than Prospero as a result of having this alcohol. Antonio, who replaced Prospero as Duke of Milan, who usurped his brother's title and lands and everything, urges the king's brother Sebastian to pull on Antonio on his brother King Alonso and assume power that way. So there's conspiracies going on and everything. Prospero realizes Prospero's sort of puppet mastering all of this and is keeping an eye on things anyway with Ariel and everything. But Prospero realizes Ferdinand's a good guy, thanks in no small measure to the logs that the guy lugged around the island. And, you know, because Ferdinand treats his daughter pretty well. So he agrees to those two kids getting married, but they shouldn't sleep together until, you know, they actually are married. It's one of his requirements. There's still work to be done on the island, so Prospero goes off and continues his enchantment on the various players, leading them ever closer to his home. He's sort of guiding them through the wilderness. It's very Lostian. Waiting for their arrival, Prospero conjures up a variety of spirits to perform for Miranda and Ferdinand and himself, I guess. Which, you know, critics always say, is this a thinly veiled reference to the works of Shakespeare? I'm not going to comment on that. Act 5 finds all of our losties coming to Prospero's cell for the ultimate reveal. Ferdinand and Miranda are playing chess in a famous scene, and, you know, whatever. Prospero forgives everyone who conspired to banish him, and forgives the guys that were going to plot to kill the king, and he forgives Caliban, sort of, gives him his freedom, and pretty much says, well, in the morning, we'll head back to Naples. Prospero says, you know, he's going to burn his books and give up his magic. Finally, the most important part, a man of his word, Prospero frees his spirit Ariel, who's been seeking freedom for the entire play, but he finally grants her Ariel the freedom. In the epilogue of the play, Prospero asks the audience to permit him to return to Naples and resume his life as the Duke of Milan. Again, critics say, as Shakespeare saying, you know, he's getting ready to end, and, you know, maybe this is his way of asking people to remember the works that way. Anyway, The Tempest is sort of lost and forbidden planet of 1610. It's a metaphor for Shakespeare's own works as a writer, perhaps. It's also a pretty good play. I have the strongest sense memories of studying it in college, because this professor showed us the Paul Mazursky modern-day retelling. That it starred Nick Cassavetes as Prospero, Molly Ringwald's Miranda, and I think Susan Sarandon is Ariel. But I remember Raul Julia's Caliban. It's a strange little film. But anyway, I've often wondered about the timetable of The Tempest. There's some reference to the entire play's action taking place within a 3-hour span, and I can't help but wonder if that perhaps didn't inform the Ballad of Gilligan's Island. Finally, my favorite of the famous lines comes with Miranda's "Oh, brave new world that has such people in it." But what I really love is Prospero's response, where he says, "'Tis new to thee." And there's a truth and a world weariness to that line that just makes me smile and maybe smugly. But that's how people want to call it. I may not disagree. The complete works of William Shakespeare as told by me, Kevin Hannah.